This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, time to lift you up, time to celebrate. Good afternoon, and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. With love, laughter, and lessons learned.
I like the laughter part.
I do too, because I've been doing a lot of that lately. It makes me feel really good. We had a support group this morning. We laughed through the whole damn thing. But anyway, with me is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
I'm so glad you're here today.
I'm happy to be here. The weather is phenomenal today.
Oh my God, it's so beautiful today.
All those storms up north.
Oh my God, I'm going to New York tomorrow.
It's going to be nice.
It is going to be nice.
From my lips to God's ears.
And I'm going to Manhattan. So I'm not going
to
it
doesn't really matter.
New York or
yeah,
something.
No, and you're going to hang out with Heidi, so.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll all be good. And with us on the board today, we have the amazing Ed. How are you doing, Ed?
Very well. Good Friday to you.
Yes, it's a good Friday. I'm still having a hard time remembering the show was on Friday and not Saturday.
I know.
And besides the show changing, all my support groups and stuff changed, so it's like...
Yeah, it's crazy. But it gives us a nice long weekend.
But like I said, we had a great support group this morning.
Yes?
Yeah. And there was you know what was really nice? There was a brand new person on there. And everyone just wants to help that person. And everybody else on the support group has been there for a year, 2 years, or 3 years. So they have, like, great advice to give.
Because yeah.
I'm no expert. I'm just, like, the facilitator.
You're kind
of
are.
I'm just the hooker-upper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my phone is vibrating right now. It's my daughter. I guess she doesn't know that I have a radio show at 1 o'clock.
She thinks it's Friday, Saturday.
Yeah,
she doesn't get it.
I guess. But I want to give a shout-out to our newest listeners. We have Bonnie in Seminole, Joanne in Pinellas Park, and Faith in Ohio.
Well, welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners.
Especially today, there's no one else but us sitting here.
Yes, because both of our guests today are calling in. But it's kind of cool that you have the opportunity to meet with people from all over the place.
It is.
I like when they're in the studio.
I do.
Yeah. I like when they're in the studio. So our first guest today is Jay Brenneman. He's the author of Take a Larger Way, Reflections of a Dementia Caregiver. I have the book right here. Fabulous book. I will say I haven't finished all of the book, but I've read a lot of the book. So welcome, Jay.
Well, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. Doing just fine here in Denver.
Can you get a little closer to your microphone? I'm having a little hard time hearing you.
Okay.
There we go. That's good.
That better?
That's much better.
It's the best better.
So, Jay, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, because I think you can do better than I can.
Well, I'll be happy to do that. Thank you, Linda, for having me on the on your program this morning. But I'm actually a farm boy from Iowa that grew up on a little farm back in the 60s and 70s. And my professional life has basically divided into three segments. One was... I was a professional counselor and had a clinical practice here in Denver after I got out of graduate school at the University of Denver. Then I got into executive coaching before it was a
thing.
What would you say? Before
a thing.
A thing.
Yeah.
A thing. There you go. I was doing it before it was a thing, and then eventually got into family advising, kind of the soft business advising, and so that's what I've done part-time here in my fourth quarter of my life and professional life. And it was during the last 10 to 15 years, it is actually now 15 years, that my...
Are you close to the microphone? Because we're not hearing you well.
Really?
That's better.
Yes, I am. Does this help?
Yeah, that's better.
It does.
Okay.
Okay, so you had all that career, and then what happened?
And then on the personal front, as it relates to caregiving, Linda, about 15 years ago, Janine started with the slow process of frontotemporal dementia.
That's your wife?
That's my wife, we lived together for 10 years with both of us trying to navigate this, and then 6 years ago, she went into a memory care facility. So I was a caregiver for about a decade as the disease progressed, and then over the last 6 years, it's been remotely as she's in a memory care facility.
You know, I always say to caregivers, even when it comes the time that your loved one may go into a community, you're still a caregiver. You're still their ears, their eyes, their everything.
And it's a different kind of caregiving, but, you know, Linda, you're always a caregiver until they're gone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just the journey. And you know what I always say? When you love hard, you hurt hard, and that's okay? Because that's part of the journey, too.
You know, it is okay. If we decide to love, we're basically making ourselves vulnerable to loss and, well, grief and, you know, a word that we don't use a lot, but it's true, and to suffering, actually.
Well, you know, when people come into my support group, the first thing they say is, number one, my life wasn't supposed to be this way, and number two, what happened to my family and friends? So how can we approach, you know, your plan B? I mean, how do you do that?
Let me tell you just a little story, Linda. You know, Claude Monet, the great impressionist artist, well, the Denver Art Museum got 100 of his originals about 2-3 years ago, and I went to see him because I don't know a lot about art, but when I got on the second floor of the Denver Art Museum and saw his series of impressionist art about a haystack that was outside his chalet, I was just overcome with emotion when I saw it. And then here's what actually happened. It was kind of a voice, a thought. I don't know how you think about these things. It was it God or was it my mind or
right.
The spirit? But whatever. It was the voice said basically, this is why you're writing your book.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the connection. Monet says the subject of the art is actually not the haystack as much as it is the environment. And the reason he painted 25 pictures of a haystack was he painted it in the morning and in the evening, in the rain and the sunshine, and in the clouds and in the snow and in the fall. And his point is, it's what's happening to the observer and in the environment.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing about being a caregiver. I think one of the really critical things that I have actually learned, and it took me a long time to learn it, is to be gracious to ourselves as caregivers, because one day is a great day, the next day it's a cloudy day, the following day it can be a kind of depressive day, and this matter of caregiving, it just kind of hijacks you emotionally, Linda. You just never know what's going to happen next.
And sometimes it's not even day-to-day. Sometimes it's hour-to-hour.
It is hour-to-hour at times.
So why is dementia or any long-term illness to you so crushingly difficult for caregivers? Are you still with me?
Okay, yes, I sure am. Say that, ask the question again. My phone kind of...
Okay, so why is dementia or Alzheimer's or any long-term illness so crushingly difficult for caregivers?
Well, here's how I think about that, Linda. I think, you know,
they're watching us. I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I apologize for my phone doing something strange here. I think Verizon is on overload, maybe.
Are you sitting in one spot, or are you walking?
Yeah, I'm sitting. No, I'm just in one spot only, right?
Okay, well, we're good now, so let's talk.
Okay. Well, I think we need four really good relationships. One's with ourself, kind of emotionally and psychologically. The other is with other people. And the third one is kind of with the world, Linda, like our relationship to work and so on. And then the fourth relationship, I think, is to the transcendent or to God, however we think about God, small g. Well, Alzheimer's and dementia just attacks all four of those.
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I divorced? Not really. Am I a widower? Not really. But I'm single, yes. And my friends talk about the other. My friends often, you know, where do they go?
Yeah.
Your earlier point, Linda.
Exactly. Because, and I think your friends just aren't there because they just don't know how to deal with it. And we have to teach them also how to come into our world.
So, I think, afraid, Linda. I think when they see that, literally, when Janine is not with me, whether it's church or in the neighborhood or at the Rotary or wherever.
You're gonna... Jay, I can't hear you.
At all.
Jay, I can't hear you at all. I think we're going to have to reschedule this conversation for another time.
Is there a landline maybe he can jump on?
I don't know.
No,
I can't hear him.
I don't have a landline anymore, Linda.
Okay, but I can hear you right now, so let's go while I can hear you.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm just saying that I think our relationship with ourselves gets changed, our relationships with other people gets changed.
Yes.
If in my case the disease comes early, Janine was in her 50s.
Wow.
How long am I going to work? Am I going
right.
to take care of her? And of course, then there's the whole financial pressure.
Exactly. So
That whole financial pressure then is, can I afford for her care, and will I keep working, and then is God still there, or does he care, or is he a loving God? It's kind of, it wears caregivers down because it attacks kind of every phase of our lives, I think.
Yes, it does. Because usually the person that you care for is your whole life, or close to it.
Yeah.
It's your spouse, it's your mom, it's your sister, it's your husband, you know, whoever it is. Well, we take care of people that we truly love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it was a critical relationship. It was a foundational relationship in our lives, Linda.
Yeah. So, Jay, where can our listeners find your book?
They can go online. It's Amazon.
And the title is?
They can Take a Larger Way.
Reflections of a Dementia Caregiver.
But it's really not a book only about dementia. It's a book about any plan B. You know, this is not the way I thought my life was going to turn out.
Right.
And it's really, how do we make an adjustment to that? And I didn't really intend to write a book, Linda. I was just writing reflections, and it was just kind of my own personal diary and journaling. And then people wanted to see it, and they said, well, this is a book material, and that's how the book happened.
I understand my first book, Good Night and God Bless, was written for my journals. So, yeah, it's a very interesting thing. Well, Jay, thanks so much for being with us today. I hope to, in the future, interview you on my podcast. Maybe we can get a little more time together. But I really appreciate you being here today. What's the last thing you want to say to our caregivers?
Last thing I want to say to the caregivers is Parker Palmer says, and I write about in one of my reflections, is that the gap between how we thought our lives would go and how they are going right now, the best word he says for that is heartbrokenness.
Mm.
And the issue is how our hearts are going to break. Because what we don't want is for them to break apart like shrapnel and we get bitter and jaded because our life didn't go the way we thought they would, but rather that our hearts can break open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if our hearts break open, Palmer says that they become more, and this is a rare word, capacious. We have more capacity for love and forgiveness and understanding and acceptance. That would be the last word I'd like to give to your listeners today, Linda, is that we struggle toward keeping our hearts open. And it is heartbreaking, but we have a choice as to how our hearts break under these circumstances.
Amen, my friend. Thank you so much for calling in today. We'll talk again soon, and have a delicious day.
Thank you, Linda, and you too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's very true.
And now it's time to hear from our wonderful sponsors, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
And here we are, back after listening to our wonderful sponsors. I'm so grateful for all our sponsors. I'm so grateful for the sponsors that are coming up for the new caregiver conference.
Yes.
That is going to be May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. We have some fabulous people coming back, including Teresa Wilbanks, who we're going to talk to in a minute or two. And we have some new presenters, so I'm very excited about that. It just makes me so happy. You know, like this morning when I was on the support group, people were like, we love this, Linda, because we can do this from the comfort of our home.
Whenever they want.
Whenever they want. And it's fabulous, too, just from the point. I mean, we're here in sunny Florida, And people say, well, I don't want to go there and drive there and have to find a parking spot and get all dressed up, you know, and find somebody to take care of my loved one. I can't even imagine what it must be like when you have like 6 inches of snow or something.
No.
You're not going anywhere. There's no capability. There's nothing to have that opportunity to even get out of the house.
So, I don't know how people live there.
I don't know how they live there either, but...
Different when you're a kid, but, oh, that shoveling snow and, ooh.
Well, and when you're a kid, you don't deal with driving or anything. You just deal with having fun in the snow.
Exactly.
And maybe getting off from school a day or
exactly.
something. But I'll tell you, I always loved when we had a snow day because it was kind of like the world stops for a day. You know?
Yeah, we had very few in Canada because we had lots of equipment. Yeah. To clean the streets. But I remember one time, and my mother had to, we didn't have any power or anything, and she had to cook in the fireplace and put the fireplace on.
Yeah.
But my mother's fireplace was painted white inside. It was not for burning.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, the tears in her eyes.
Oh, my.
Daddy said, throw the wood on it. And Mommy's going, oh, my white fireplace. Yeah, no, it wasn't for burning.
Oh. Oh, my God.
It was so cold. It was so cold.
Yeah. What did you say?
Oh, what did you do with the fireplace? Serve buffets out of it?
Just about. Let the mice go in. I don't know. We just looked at it. It was for looking at. And a place to hang the stockings and look at the white. There was no logs even in it.
So you were freezing, but the fireplace looked good.
It looked darn good.
Yes. I think I like my mother's.
I went over and sat in it to just look at my mother. It's awfully cold in here. It's not fireplace time.
my mom had a fireplace. We just like did it around the holidays, and it was lovely. It was just lovely having that fireplace, smelling all that stuff. And Tom and I, for a few years when we first bought our house, we heated our house with a wood-burning stove.
Tell them the story about when you wrote your wills.
Oh, my God. So my husband and I, my daughter was probably like 2 or 3 at the time, and we go to the attorney and we write our wills just because that's what you're supposed to do. And we bring them home and they're on the kitchen table. We go to bed that night and the house is being heated with the wood-burning stove and this piece of poplar wood pops out the back shaft from the back of the... So the whole house is being filled with smoke. I'm upstairs in bed. I'm like, oh, my God, something's going on. We got to call the fire department and everything. But could you imagine if we had died that night because of that accident? They would have said we committed suicide.
Yep.
You know, here's the will on the table, signed and everything.
But hopefully it would have burned up, Lynn.
Oh, my God. And now we're gone. But that, yeah. And the time, and there was like a whole creosote fire in the chimney. And it wasn't that we had it cleaned regularly. We had a company come in where they would clean out all that stuff. But I guess... They didn't do the best job they could have done.
Maybe the discount ones.
I don't know. Like our neighbors are like calling us and banging on our door. There's like fire coming out of your chimney.
You know, now though, they have such beautiful electric ones. And you can have them with no heat. In Florida, it's nice. No heat.
Oh, yeah, because I just see them now in Florida, yeah.
I have one. I put it on at Christmas.
Why not?
It's cute.
Did you just have heat or it's just light?
Yeah, both.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't use the heat. But no, it's nice, and they're beautiful. They have long, long ones, and oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah. It's got the LED light fire logs. You can't tell the difference.
No. My mother would like that, God rest her soul.
How clean it would have stayed.
Exactly.
And no safety hazards.
And we wonder why I have so many allergies, because the house was, like, pristine.
Oh.
So, you know, I'd never smelled mold or dust or anything.
Oh, goodness. All right, well, now we're going to talk to our second guest today, and it's Teresa Wilbanks, the author of Navigating the Caregiver River. Oh, is Dr. Schumann on there first? Wait a minute, Teresa, please. Okay, first we have Dr. Schumann. Hi, Doc. How are you today?
Wonderful. How's everybody doing?
Joyful and grateful, you know that. So what's a good thing you got to tell us today, Doc?
Oh, so today I wanted to announce the start of an awesome weight loss program that we just started here in the office about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
It is called ChiroThin, and it is a new approach to weight loss. And basically, it combines intermittent fasting with a specific dietary supplement that's all natural to help get your body into ketosis and help you burn that fat.
Wow.
And how long is it? How long does it go for?
It's a 6-week program.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect most people to lose between 20 and 35 pounds. And
oh, yikes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on that.
No, if you go on that, Lynn, you'll fade away. You're not allowed. But yeah, that's fabulous. So,
but is it all fasting?
It is not all fasting. So you're pretty much eating two meals a day.
Oh.
So you're skipping that breakfast, but you're allowed to drink the normal stuff: coffee, tea, just no dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol?
No alcohol.
Okay, because some allow it.
Yeah.
That's a good question. So basically, you're cutting out almost all carbs.
Oh, see, that wouldn't be hard for me. I'm not a big carb lover.
Yeah, me, I'm a carb lover.
I know. Miss Subway.
Eat very lean meat.
Yeah.
So very, very low fat content. Because you want your body to pull from your fat stores.
Yeah.
Right?
So
that's what ketosis is, right? So getting the body to just metabolize the fat for energy.
Is that like keto diet?
It's similar. So, keto gets there a different way.
Okay.
And, this is a much cleaner and faster way. Like, again, with keto, you're still eating fat. And, when your body's metabolizing fat, it's in your blood, and then it's just a little bit less healthy.
So, Doc, where can people sign up for this?
So you can call our office, all right, 727-397-3000. And just let us know that you want to come in and talk about ChiroThin, and we'll do a free consultation.
Fabulous.
Yep.
Absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much, Doc. We're going to hear from you every week at 1:30, right?
That's right.
Are you on the diet?
I am starting next week. I actually did the 9-day challenge before vacationing in November, and I lost 13 pounds. So it was
wow.
Pretty cool.
Because you're slim as
I know,
is.
He always looks good to me, so I don't have a clue.
Wow.
I don't have that much weight to lose, but yeah. I'm going to actually go on the week and just post my results so everybody can look at that.
Cool. Thanks so much, Doc. Have a delicious day.
Thank you for having me.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay, Teresa. I know you've been on hold for a while.
No, it's been great. I've been listening.
It's a good thing you don't have to pay for long distance like we used to have to do.
That's right. Well, that takes me back.
I remember we only called grandma like on Sundays.
Exactly.
Because it was like cheaper phone rates on Sundays or something like that.
Yeah.
That's funny. I'd forgotten about that.
Oh, my goodness.
You're too young to remember that.
Well, I remember it. I wasn't the one making the phone calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just telling my grandson, one of his friends the other day, we were talking about cell phones, and he's like, they didn't have a cell phone when you were a kid. I'm like, no way. And he's 17. He had no clue. I told him about a payphone he didn't get, none of it. It was very funny. So Teresa Wilbanks is a good friend of mine and Lynn's. We became friends a few years ago, and we're on the same journey to help caregivers. And Teresa was part of my conference in November, and will be part of the new conference in May.
And she is fabulous.
She is absolutely fabulous, because Teresa can get the point across to you, but in a really calming way, in a really healthy, breathing way. And so she just wrote this new book, Navigating the Caregiver River, A Journey to Sustainable Caregiving. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you, Linda, and hi, Lynn. It's just so
good
to hear you both.
Yeah, it's so great. So tell our listeners, why did you decide to write the book?
Well, at the heart of it, I wanted caregivers to know that they aren't alone and that there is hope. I just wanted to give them each a big hug, and so that wasn't possible, and this is the closest I could get to a hug. And we know caregivers are everywhere, but for so many reasons, they can be hard to reach. This book is just one more way to provide support. And really, your book, Connecting Caregivers, it helped me so much when I was lost and I was overwhelmed. And I just hope this book helps caregivers and gives them some strategies, to manage the heavy feelings.
Yeah.
As well as some of the more challenging practical aspects of caregiving, because both of those things can really give us challenges.
All right, so let's back up a little bit. How did you get on this caregiving journey?
Oh, yeah. So I should say my husband and I were caring for Dad for 7 years, and that's how, you know, you and I connected, because, you know, through this, we had a caregiving agency join us, join our care team, and I was given your book by the owner of that agency. And so, you know, I was just struggling and really feeling overwhelmed, and the stress impacted my well-being and my relationship with Dad, and was just in a constant state of what felt like fight or flight.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, Dad was also struggling. That's the thing, is that he was also at a really tough place. All that goes with aging and all those challenges, and, you know, working through all of the, what made it so hard and why it didn't have to be so hard, you know, that's when I felt compelled to help other family caregivers. And yeah, that's when I, you know, really wanted to connect with you, because that's what you were doing.
Yeah, it's all, you know what, anybody we can have on the team is great, and we're lucky that, I always say that I'm surrounded by professionals that want to make a difference, that really do care, and most of us have been on the journey. So that's why we can speak about it so much better. But let's talk about the analogy of the river, though. I love the analogy, because I have strength in water. You know, I live on a lake. Water's important.
Important.
But yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I connected to the feeling of, actually, the first thing was to being swept away and drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And quote, life is like a river. Sometimes it carries you gently along, and sometimes the rapids come out of nowhere. And that's by Emma Smith. It really spoke to me as a caregiver. And I also hope that, like, the river just helps other caregivers know that while they might be in the rapids at one point, there are going to be calm sections ahead.
Yeah.
And they can develop, like, skills, like paddling skills, like to manage the rough sections and the waterfalls. And while the river doesn't change, how we navigate the river can change. And that just really resonated with me. I thought about, like, we're always wondering and worrying, like, what's around the next corner? What's around the next bend?
Yeah.
Will it be an obstacle blocking our path, or the rapids and that out of control feeling? And, like, where's the calm water? When is it going to get here?
And caregiving is just full of navigation.
It is, and that wildness and unpredictability, like, it just all resonated, and I felt like if this, you know, is resonating with me, I hope that it would resonate with other family caregivers.
Well, obviously that's happening, my friend, because I know everyone that heard you speak at the conference was like, phew, Linda, that was fabulous, because you can have a conversation with someone, or you can do a workshop where they're just getting information, but with you, Teresa, it's the heart. It's the empathy. It's the really grounding and connecting with the caregiver that I think is so important.
But we think you should come back to Florida.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, with these temperatures, there's lots of reasons to come back and see you two and enjoy the warmth.
What's the temperature there today?
It was 16 this morning.
Oh, my God.
That's like a worse than a refrigerator.
Yeah, worse than that.
Well, your photos are lovely, but they're not taken in the snow, the ones I've seen.
Oh, the photos
that you put on Facebook and that.
Oh, I think, or you might be talking about the photos from our trip. We went, we went all around the country and visited national parks. It was a pretty chilly trip, but not like, not 16.
Mm.
And we tent camped. So it was something.
Well, you know, Teresa, I made a deal with myself 5 or 6 months ago that I'm going away once a month for the rest of my life, even if it's just one night, because what am I waiting for?
Yeah, and I heard you're going to New York tomorrow.
I'm going to New York tomorrow. I'm going the last week in January to Dallas. I've booked Olympia, Washington, Grand Canyon. So we're going to be doing some stuff this year.
Yeah, I'm going to Publix and then Walgreens.
Lynn, you're not going to travel along?
No.
No. I might grab her here and there. But
I'm going away in the summer. I just don't want to be out wearing masks. I'm so tired of it.
Yeah, it is scary.
Yeah.
It is scary. But let's not get on that, because that kind of like... All right. Yeah. So, In your book, you write about how caregiving transitions can be particularly challenging. Most of the times, they are challenging. So what are some of the strategies that you share for navigating these transitions?
Well, yeah, the transitions are really challenging and stressful. They catch us off guard.
Because you think you got it all down.
Exactly. We're like paddling comfortably along, and then we hit the rapids and probably get tossed out of the boat. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
And the topics are sensitive subjects. It can be emotion charged, like hospitalizations or medication. Driving is like one of the most challenging.
Yeah.
And so communication is important. It can be full of conflict, but if we have the conversation before we find ourselves in these emotion charged situations, we can find out information that we'll need to help us through the transition.
Well,
as always, communication comes to the heart of it.
And starting early.
To live. And just the planning, then that's another strategy. You know, if we know what the alternative transportation options are before you need it. Our family member can't drive, exactly.
Well, it was funny, I recently went to visit my granddaughter in Germany, and one night we're chatting, and she says to me, you know, Grandma, my husband and I were talking, and you're not going to be able to stay where you're living. I was like, what? Well, you have an upstairs and downstairs. I said, well, I bought the place with an upstairs and downstairs because I think that upstairs and downstairs is going to keep me alive because I have to go up and down the stairs. I said, but if the time comes that I can't get up and down the stairs, you guys going to buy me one of those scooter chairs that goes up and down the stairs. But we need to have that conversation because let's say, God forbid, you know, I had Alzheimer's and I couldn't express myself.
Yeah.
Decisions are going to be made that maybe they think is very good for me, but is really not my choice.
You can't always say,
I just want to stay home and that's my choice, but there are choices that we have.
You can say it.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly it. You know, just to have that conversation early on, and it's what you find out, then your wishes can be supported and your family members' wishes can be supported.
Yeah.
No, I love it.
Yeah, and just having the conversation ahead of time, I think when and if the time comes, that makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
Because you've had this conversation.
It is so emotional. And
well, nobody wants to not be able to take care of themselves.
Ugh. No. And the challenges are usually between safety and independence. And then we're just so concerned about our family member's safety. And they want to be independent. And that's what makes it so emotional.
Yeah. And caregivers have to realize that, you know, they can't take care of somebody 24/7 and do it properly. You really can't at some point. At some point, you need to call in other people to help you. Because, you know, I always say to caregivers when they come to the point, Linda, do you think it's time that my loved one maybe should go into a community, which is like one of the most tragic kind of decisions you have to make? And my first question all the time is, are they safe? Because you can't watch somebody 24/7.
Yeah.
And my second question is, are you ready to jump off the bridge? Because many times the caregiver is just so out of their mind. And, you know, even like on the support group this morning, one of the caregivers, her husband's in a community now, and she fought it. And she said, I go there every day to visit him, but I think I really go for me and not for him. I don't think he even really notices. She said, but I know he's safe. And I feel much more joyful now when I visit him.
Mm-hmm. I used to want to run away.
Yeah.
That's what I used to just say, if I could just run away.
Yeah, because you just want to get away from it for a while.
Just for a day or two.
Yeah. And that's why we need to talk to people about respite.
Yes.
Yeah. And just being able to let go of outcomes, changing our relationship with outcomes to some degree can help us from feeling all that stress.
Yeah,
I feel like we're paddling upstream when we're just, you know, we're holding on so tight to our expectations, what we want. And if we can just accept to some degree our family member's decision, accept that the outcome may be challenging, or accept the decision that we had to make that we, like you said, is a hard decision that we don't want to make. But just plan for everything you can and then let go.
Yeah, and then let go.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
And then let go.
But you're right.
Yeah, it is tough.
But the planning is important because what happens is when you have the conversations, And when you do the planning, then you get to enjoy some of the caregiving.
That's so true.
Because that other stuff's not in the way. You're not always on that constant guard or that reaction or whatever. You know, another person said in the support group this morning, so I finally, my husband was just like sleeping all day, all the time. And he would just wake up and want to eat breakfast no matter what time of the day it was. And she said all he was doing it. And so she finally said, and not very verbal. And she said, and everybody kept encouraging me for him to go into adult daycare. She goes, and they sent me videos of him, and he's laughing. Oh. They sent me videos of him, and he's playing cards with the guys.
Oh. But he still says he hates it.
He still says he hates it every day.
But they get a little arbitrary. They do.
Like I say, it's just like when you send your kid to school, they go, oh, Mom, it was terrible. It was terrible. And they tell all their friends it was great. But really, but, you know, it was such a big transition for her. And then, and she said, you know, I'd take him there and he'd be crying. I'd pick him up, he's crying. And then they send her videos all day long. He's having a fabulous time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And there's just so much in then also allowing your loved one to be social.
Oh, I think that's big.
Because as much as we need to be social, they need to be social too.
Yeah, no, that's big. True. My husband missed people visiting him.
Yeah. Because
they were tired of listening to him, so they didn't come anymore.
Yeah, because people don't understand. And that's another thing, too, that you and I know how much more now than we knew when you were taking care of Jack or when I was taking care of my mom.
But nobody came, but I couldn't leave. So. I know. It was tough, but yeah.
It is tough. So, Teresa, your dad passed away a year ago. What would you mind sharing about what the grief has looked like for you? Because I think that's another conversation we need to have.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I just watched your program with Mary Jane Cronin on grief. And it was really a great conversation, really powerful about loss and how to move through the experience. And I think for me, in addition to the void, the huge void and intense feelings of sadness and loss, you know, I just struggled with the lack of purpose for a while. This huge responsibility of love that had taken up, you know, all of my was gone. And so now what?
Right.
And finding a new purpose and reconnecting to passions, it really has been a journey. And that trip that you guys mentioned, the pictures from that trip was a part of it.
Oh, good. And that was healing?
It was healing. And not everybody can do something like that. But, you know, I do recommend just getting out of the space where you spend all the time with the overwhelming worry so that you can kind of think about the possibilities and the future. It may not be anything like that trip, but look like something else, a little different.
Well, you know what? Nature's free.
No, yeah.
Nature's free.
Absolutely.
You know, wherever you live, even if you're in the snow, there's beautiful nature. And you can just walk outside.
Or you can wait till summer and then it will be pretty.
You can wait till summer. But you can walk out and you can take a breath of fresh air. And you can look up
and then
say...
And start to reconnect.
Yeah.
Your prior self when you weren't so overcome with worry and your passions, and you can start to imagine getting, you know, back into those things little by little. And
then from the amazing journey you've had, you can continue to help others. And I think that's
huge. I think that clearly is what continues to give me a lot of, you know, purpose, and to know that I learned so much from the experience and I'm able to share that with others.
Yeah, well, you know, there's like some days, most days caregiving psychs me up. But there are some days where it's totally exhausting for me. I have a lot of, deal with a lot of grief. You know, my people are in my support group for 2 or 3 years, or 4 years, or 5 years, then their loved one passes away. We have a relationship. But as hard as that can be, and as sad as that can be, there's also so much love in there, and so much hope, and okay, that part of the journey is done, and where do we go on from here?
Yeah. Yeah, and you've experienced that recently as well.
Yeah. Well, I just joined a 13-week grief share support group for myself.
Oh, wonderful.
Because, first of all, I can't be out there yakking about it all the time. And second of all, I know me. I'm a runner. I run from grief.
Yeah.
So I had to, get some stuff in order for myself. And that's why anybody that's listening today that's going through any kind of grief, you address it when you can address it. Just don't forget to address it. Because when you forget to address it, I think that's when it makes things so much more difficult for yourself. And I think when you do start to address it, as sad as it can be and weepy, it can also be very powerful and very freeing also.
Mm-hmm.
So, Teresa, I am so glad that you had the opportunity to be with us today. Where can our listeners find you?
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you both. Well, I can be just sustainablecaregiving.com. Everything is there. So you can connect with me, the book. We have a Facebook group that...
Yes, you do.
So I invite all caregivers to join Sustainable Caregiving. It's a private group, so we can share freely.
And I love the way the group's growing.
Oh, it is growing. I know. It's fantastic. It makes my heart happy to know that we're able to, you know, work together with each other and help support each other on the journey.
I mean, like, when you get, like, a post and a person just says, oh, my God, I'm so glad I found this group. Or, I just read one thing here today and it made me feel better. Or can I ask this question? It makes your heart swell.
It does. It really does.
It's all good. Thank you, my friend. We'll be chatting soon.
All right, Linda. Thank you. And bye. Bye, Lynn.
Have a delicious day.
Bye.
She's fabulous.
She has such a calming voice.
Well, she's so... Lynn and I met her, I don't know, it's probably like 5 years ago now.
We met her at the Christmas party.
It was at a Christmas party, like an industry Christmas party, and she came up to us and she said, I'm your stalker.
Well, she came up to me because she really wanted to meet you.
Oh, big deal.
I said, I know the girl, come on. Yeah. I'll take you over. She was so sweet.
Oh, it's... You know what? While we're yakking, I forgot we have to hear from our wonderful sponsors, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
I'll tell you, that Footbar Walker is pretty amazing. It's like getting that information out there for everybody. But it's a really, really good thing. And thanks to my friends from A&E Corner for also promoting the Footbar Walker, because there are a lot of new tools out there, but if people don't know about it, you know, like you do a search on Amazon, you get a million different things.
I didn't know about those balls you were telling me about, water balls.
I think they're called jelly balls, actually. So they're for people that are not staying hydrated. Mom doesn't want to drink water or whatever. And it's a little jelly ball. Like, you could just put them in a bowl. Like, they look like they're candy, but 98% of it is water.
That's fabulous.
It's just a, like a thin, maybe little flavored covering.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and so then they think they're eating candy, but they're really drinking water.
That's fabulous.
So I think you can do, I think it was called jelly balls. Jellyballs.com.
Because it's hard getting people. In the summer in Florida, you drink a lot because it's so hot, but it's hard to get people to drink water.
Well, you know, and lots of times they're just stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be telling me I should be drinking
not
water.
Like us. We would just say, like, oh, of course we'll do that. Is that good for me? Let me have it.
No, that's not what you would say. You would just say, is there vodka in it? I'll drink it.
I haven't had a vodka in weeks and weeks.
Oh, goodness. Well, thanks so much for tuning in today, everybody. So
of course,
glad you're
wine.
Here. I'm off to New York tomorrow, but I will be back on Thursday, so you will hear from us next Friday. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
When you're down and trouble, and you need a helping hand, and nothing, oh, nothing's gone. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night.